day is surely drawing near. And it's really interesting that we're talking about that right now, because that is the hymn assigned for this coming Sunday, the second last Sunday in the church year. And with me with Rumination Thursday on this Tuesday, November the 13th, Rumination Tuesday, not Thursday.
Yeah. Glad we got you out of the well there, Tom.
Yes. You just heard the announcement that we need new equipment
here. Yes, we need it badly.
Well, that's Pastor Mark Smith talking with us right here. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Oh, I tell you, I love the snow, you know. I mean, snow before Thanksgiving? You got to be kidding. In St. Louis?
What snow?
Oh, beautiful snow out here.
Oh, I didn't notice it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Love it. But after Christmas, it can leave.
Be nice to have it to Christmas. Yeah, I knew it was snowing because I had my wife out there cleaning my car. The windshield wipers wouldn't work.
St. Louis, right?
Yes. St. Louis. So this is a hymn that's kind of interesting. It indicates in our hymnal that it was written by a Bartholomaeus Ringwalt. The trouble is, it really comes from a medieval hymn generally credited to Thomas de Celano, who died in 1255. And he was the friend and biographer of Francis of Assisi.
Oh, Francis of Assisi.
Who wrote this, kind
of. Yeah, no kidding.
And it's an anonymous, freely translated seven-stanza hymn. What happened, it came to the attention of Bartholomaeus Ringwalt, who is a Lutheran pastor in Langenfeld, Germany. And because of his interest in Christ's second coming, and he had studied Revelation, he revised the hymn. And this is what we have in front of us. And it became very popular, frequently sung by congregations, because this was during the 30 Years'
War.
Oh, boy,
yeah.
1618 to 1648. And that's why one of the most beloved stanzas is in here. And when we get to it, hopefully, I'll talk a little bit more about it.
Yes, seven stanzas.
Yes. So, speak quickly. Stanza one.
All right. The day is surely drawing near when Jesus, God's anointed, in all his power shall appear as judge whom God appointed. Then fright shall banish idle mirth, and flames on flames shall ravage earth, as Scripture long has warned us.
So, what's the day that's being talked about?
It's talking about the last day.
Yes.
Day of judgment.
Day of judgment.
Right.
When Jesus, God's anointed, in all his power shall appear. You see, I don't know how long I thought that the judge on Judgment Day was God the Father.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Jesus is our judge.
That's what it
says.
But
he's also our advocate and defender.
Yes.
So, we Christians, thanks be to God, are in good shape.
We have a mediator. Yes.
Yes.
And this verse is very clear that Jesus as judge whom God appointed. So the Father appoints him.
Right.
And he appointed him, of course, to be the one who died on the cross. But flames on flames shall ravage earth. Every now and then, like Jehovah Witnesses or others, will give an actual date in which the end of the world is going to occur.
Yes. Sir.
And then they start selling their property, and I've never figured that out. Because if the day is going to end and everything gets burned up, what are they going to do with the money they got, and who would ever buy property?
I can't imagine.
It's just, again, a false understanding.
Yeah, they have to move the date back. And back, and I think I seem to have heard somewhere that the Russellites, you know, that the Jehovah's Witnesses, they have basically given up trying to set the date. Finally, I'd heard that somewhere. I don't know if it's true.
Well, maybe they read the Bible where Jesus says it'll come as a thief in the night. And can you imagine in my neighborhood, a letter goes around: thieves will be coming on Thursday night at 8:30. Nobody would show up.
And scripture talks about, you know, people will be given in marriage. They'll be marrying. They'll be conducting business. It'll be a complete surprise.
Surprise.
Yes.
Jesus, in his state of humiliation, when he wasn't making use of his divine powers, even though he had them, he did not even know the
date. He said only the Father, nor the angels, nor even the Son, but the Father.
Yes. Stanza 2.
The final trumpet then shall sound, and all the earth be shaken, and all who rest beneath the ground shall from their sleep awaken. But all who live will in that hour, by God's almighty boundless power, be changed at his commanding.
There are so many Bible verses that this is drawing upon. They only have four of them at the bottom of the page. And the one I think that this is talking about is 1 Thessalonians 4.
Right.
You know, when all who live by that hour will be changed at his commanding. So
we'll all be changed, it says.
Paul makes
a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump.
He makes very clear that the dead in the graves and those alive on the earth will come at the same time.
Right.
To meet the Lord in the clouds of the air.
Yeah. Well, the dead in Christ shall rise first,
yes.
Paul says. The dead in Christ, then we who are alive and remained shall be, let's see, what else does it say there?
They will not.
To meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Right. Now, the King James has, they will not prevent those which they have better. The prevent is from the Latin pre and venire, come before.
Uh-huh.
And the better translations will not proceed. Even though those dead in the ground will come into being first, both of us will come before the Lord at the same time.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Those of us who are living.
All right.
And such. But that might be a million years from now.
A million? Come on. You don't think it's going to be. You know, Jonathan Fisk said that once. He says it may be in a million years. You don't think it'll be a million years from now, do you? Why not? We're in the last days. Jesus says himself, you know, we're in the last days. Behold, I'm coming soon.
Yes.
You think it's a million years? Come on.
Remember what Jesus says to God, a day is like 1,000 years.
And 1,000 years is one day.
So let's say it's 500
days. He says 1,000
years,
not a million, Tom.
But then the reverse is also true.
We don't even believe the world has been around a million years.
Well, of course not. But it might be before he comes back.
I don't agree with you.
But you have no Bible verse to back it up.
Neither do you.
Well, that's my point.
Well, we don't know when he will come, but I just don't think it'll be a million years.
Why not?
I think it'll be soon. Lo, I'm coming soon. That's the last chapter of the last book, Revelation. I'm coming soon. Come, Lord Jesus.
Even Luther thought he would come in his day.
Yes, right.
Yes.
Christians have, the coming is always imminent.
And he was wrong.
Yeah, but, H. Richard Klein, remember in his class,
oh, yes.
he said, I don't know if I'll see the day, but I think you will see the day. Remember he said that? Were you in that class?
I had a lot of his classes. I don't recall that because I would have put my hand up. Well, it could be a million years. Stanza 3, I'll read because you're laughing too much. The books are open then to all, a record truly telling what each has done, both great and small, when he on earth was dwelling. And every heart be clearly seen, and all be known as they have been in thoughts and words and actions. You know, I'm not really sure I agree with that. Do you think that on Judgment Day, all your sins are going to be before you?
No. There'll be no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. The books are open then to all, a record truly telling what each has done, both great and small.
I just said this.
Yeah.
So, what does that mean? I think it means what Matthew 25 says, that the records are going to be all your good works.
Right.
That you don't remember.
Right.
Remember,
yeah.
The sheep can't remember. When do we do all these things?
Yes. Oh, you're right. You're right. They said, when did we come and visit you when you were in prison? When did I do that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Whatever
he says, as much as you have done to the least of these, my brethren, you have done to me.
So that's how I understood the books to be opened. Because, as you said, if there's no condemnation, can you imagine we're there on Judgment Day and then you're reminded of your sins?
Yes.
And I'm going to look over at you and I'm going to say,
big surprise.
Look at Mark, what he wrote here about you. I don't think that's going to happen on Judgment Day. Because then you would say, well, Tom, did you see your page?
You must be a goat.
Yeah, we all should be goats, but we'll be sheep.
But absolutely. Because of Jesus Christ and his righteousness.
I dreamed about that once because...
You were the goat?
Well...
You were among the goats.
The Bible says that those on his right.
Yeah.
You know, so I had a dream that I got to heaven and I made sure I was on the right.
On his right?
Yeah. Except he showed up behind us.
Uh-oh.
And then I was on the
That's
left.
That's right. He says the sheep are on the right, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does he say his right or no? It doesn't say his right. It says the right.
On the right
hand.
So I had that dream.
Want to be sure to be on the right hand.
But when he was on behind us, it was all messed up. 4.
Then woe to those who scorned the Lord and sought but carnal pleasures, who here despised his precious word and loved their earthly treasures. With shame and trembling they will stand, and at the judge's stern command to Satan be delivered. Ooh, boy.
Yeah, that's... remember, we've been talking quite a bit about the distinction between the vertical and the horizontal. Well, those who love carnal pleasures only have a horizontal relationship with others. They have no vertical relationship with God.
Right, right.
Because they love carnal pleasures, and that's how they try and... get away from their fear of mortality by making themselves look good in the eyes of others.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not going to work.
Nope.
No. People, you know, years ago, one would think that if you were the president of the United States, everybody would look up to you. Well, we found that that isn't true today.
No.
Yeah.
That's right.
So there's nothing that you can become where people will look. I'm just getting a little sick and tired of all of these advertisements that, like, for example, now, there's this one medicine they say, if you take it, it makes you feel better, and then you can do better works for others. And they have people helping out their neighbors and stuff because of this medicine.
Yeah, well, I was listening to a doctor on TV yesterday, and she was making the point that, you know, she does not approve of all these advertisements of medications and things.
Right.
That, you know, she doesn't think that's a good idea.
No.
That rather you take the advice of your physician.
Yeah, absolutely. Because a lot of them are non-prescription. In fact, Consumer Reports just had a good article on that before you go to Walgreens and buy an over-the-counter, go over to the pharmacist and say, here's the medicines I am taking. Is this okay?
Right.
Yeah. So it's really kind of interesting. There are certain well-known medicines like Advil and Tylenol that if you take can interrupt other and get in the way of other medicine.
Yeah.
And you see, never know that.
You see these medical advertisements all the time.
Yeah,
I know. You didn't used to see that. You'd see cigarette commercials instead.
Yes. But now, I don't know if it's the law or what, but they'll say, yeah, this will stop your headaches.
Yes.
But, of course, you may get liver disease.
Right.
And you better watch out. You know, tell your doctor if you're going to die.
Yeah, they always give all those disclaimers.
I can't believe that.
I can't. Yeah.
Who would want to take that stuff? Yes, I know. And so instead, they pass a law to take marijuana.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
These people are nuts.
It's a shame. Yeah.
I mean, this shows how carnal individuals are, that they need a high to get through the day.
Yeah.
And
not that all medications, you know, I mean, there's a place, of course, for medicine.
I don't mind medicinal marijuana if it really works.
Right, right, right.
Because remember, they give people heroin.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in the hospital for pain or stuff like that. And
heroin or
no,
just
heroin is a medicine that they can
narcotic.
Use with. Yeah, it's a narcotic they use for certain diseases. But
I didn't know that.
But that's how people get.
I knew Oxycontin and things like that. Those are narcotics.
Well, we're two pastors, don't know anything about medicine.
Yeah,
so let's go to verse 5.
My Savior paid the debt I owe, and for my sin was smitten. Within the book of life I know my name has now been written. I will not doubt, for I am free, and say not, Satan cannot threaten me. There is no condemnation. There you go.
See? And this time he calls it the book of life.
Right.
And I don't think in the book of life they're going to list all your sins.
No.
No. But this is such a good Lutheran summary, those first two lines. My Savior paid the debt I owe, and for my sin was smitten. This gets
and the comfort of the last two verses. I will not doubt, for I am free. You know, that's what we're all about. The gospel is assurance. It's certainty.
Yes.
Certainty that you are saved. And we want people to be absolutely certain of that. And Satan cannot threaten you anymore. There is no condemnation.
Explain how you
be gone, Satan.
Explain how you are free.
Free in Jesus Christ. Free from sin, death, and hell.
But you're still sinning. So what does it mean you're free from sin?
Well, we daily sin much and indeed deserve nothing but punishment. But Christ has taken, he's washed all those sins away. God's perspective,
right.
When he looks at us through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, he sees a saint. He doesn't see a sinner, even though we know we sin continually.
Yeah. You know, I drive for Uber and Lyft, and I often, when we get in the conversation, like making statements that they can't understand.
Uh-huh. Yes, and you like to do that a lot.
I know. And so they're in there, oh, you're a Lutheran. What does that mean? Oh, that means I'm free to sin.
Oh, boy. Oh, Tom.
And then they'll ask me, what does that mean? I say, when I sin, I'm free from any punishment because Jesus died on the cross for me.
Okay, good, good.
Yeah. It doesn't mean that
mean that you can go on and live your life wantonly.
No, exactly.
And, yeah.
Yeah, somebody was asked the question, well, it sounds like I can, do anything I want if I'm a believer. And the person who was talking to him said, okay, what would you want to do if you were a believer? Oh, yeah, I guess you wouldn't want to sin.
No.
No, that's really interesting.
That's right, because we know that's, it's like pounding the nails into Jesus' hands.
Yeah, exactly. Well said. Stanza 6, may Christ our intercessor be, that's where we get that mediator you were talking about, and through his blood and merit, read from his book that we are free with all who life inherit. Then we shall see him face to face with all his saints in that blessed place which he has purchased for us. I mean, there are probably 10 Bible verses right in there, because we'll see him face to face.
Right.
That reminds us of Job.
That's right. Now, let's see. I know that my Redeemer lives,
right,
and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And after worms have destroyed this body, yet in my flesh I will see God.
Yeah,
the resurrection.
With my own eyes.
With my own eyes.
Yes. See him face to face. And then through his blood and merit, I mean, that's everywhere in the Bible. But read from his book that we are free. So once more, it's not a book that lists your sins.
Right.
Because then you're not free.
Right. Say that again. I was lost in thought on another line. Go ahead.
That when it says we are free, read from his book that we are free.
Yes.
Which means it's like he was talking to the saints, the sheep, in Matthew 25. Because if our sins are listed, then we're not free. But the big word here, and I think I saw it here. Yes, with all who life inherit. What does every other religion say? You don't inherit life, you
earn it.
Well, it rhymes with inherit.
Merit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't merit it.
No.
Christ has merited for us.
Yeah.
He's won it.
We're not
for
the
us.
Pharisees. Say, thank God I'm not like those other people. Because I deserve to be saved with all the things I've done.
Is Christ, I'll tell you what I was pondering here. Is Christ reading from the book himself? Says, may Christ our intercessor be, and through his blood and merit, read from his book that we are. So Christ is reading from the book that we are free. Is that right?
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
May Christ our intercessor be, and through his blood and merit, read. May Christ our intercessor read.
I still think read. It's us reading from the book that we are free. With all who life inherit.
It's,
I don't know who the subject would be.
Six, half dozen, one or the other, right.
All right, now seven is the most favored verse during the 30 Years' War.
Yes.
So why don't you read that and you'll figure that out right away.
Right. O Jesus Christ, do not delay, but haste our salvation. Hasten our salvation. We often tremble on our way in fear and tribulation. Oh, hear and grant our fervent plea. Come, mighty judge, and set us free from death and every evil.
You can understand why that was a favorite.
Yes, yes.
Stanza during the 30 Years' War.
Because, boy, it was a terrible.
Now, Sunday was another day.
Yes, Veterans Day. And Armistice, the 100th anniversary of the end of World War I.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, I'd never done this before, but the congregations I was at, they said that they would have the veterans stand.
Yeah, we did that. I never do it either. I never do it either, but I chose to do it this Sunday myself. Yes. I just never done it before, but I thought, well, it is kind of a momentous day, 100 years since World War. And I had them stand, to give them honor. And
now, I had each one of them tell us their rank and what place they were.
Rank and serial number, right.
Well, not serial number. I don't care what kind of cereal they eat. But at any rate, then I began the sermon.
Uh-huh. Did you ask them the branch of service?
Yes. And they said where and all this kind of thing.
And they gave you the rank and everything, huh?
Yep. And then I had them at the end of the service go out with me, and people shook their hands.
Oh, well, that was nice. Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah, and I had never done that before, but I got the idea from one of the members there. Then I started my sermon, beware of those who like to be greeted.
Oh.
So I said,
did you sing the Navy hymn, too?
Oh, yes, we did.
We sang that, too.
Yeah, no, what happened was the organist reminded me it was Veterans Day, and so we did change the hymn to do that, and then I added things in the sermon, and I said, well, these people like to be greeted as though those are the kind of people that Jesus is talking against, and I made the point, no, the Pharisees like to be greeted because there was no suffering, whereas veterans put their life on the line for us, and so their motivation was love of God and love of country instead, and yeah, it just went really well. Did it in two different churches and such. And the one church had about 6 to 8 veterans. And the other one had, there was just one there in that one. But I had never done that before. And it just so happened Sunday was Veterans Day.
Yes, that's right. So. And the day before was the anniversary of the Marine Corps, too.
Oh, really?
Yes. Marine Corps' birthday was the day before. See, I know. I'm a military history buff.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I got to, when I was a kid, I talk about 100 years ago, the World War I, I got to see the American fighter ace, flying ace, Eddie Rittenbacker.
Really?
Got to see him as a kid, yes. Wow. I'll never forget it. Yeah.
Did you fly with him?
No.
No.
I wish I'd gotten his autograph, though.
Yeah. No doubt about it. Guess what?
Time is up.
Yes. Thanks so much for being with me. Next week sounds okay, too, for the last Sunday of the church year.
That's right.
And also Thanksgiving.
That's right. It's coming up. Yeah.
Sure is. All right. And that was Pastor Mark Smith. I'm Tom Baker. Tomorrow we're going to do the next Bible study for those congregations meeting at 9:30. And I'll tell you something else about that tomorrow. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.